And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. There was once a deafening scream that came from a kitchen in Independence. Then a quiet moment. Karina Perenio and Casey Connor stood motionless, staring at each other. The workspace was haunted. Furthermore, the way they make desserts is scary, in a good way. And our guests here for the second half of the hour are the very same Karina Perenio and Casey Connor, owners of a pastry company specializing in French macaroons called Milk and Honey. Today we hear their frightful tale of entrepreneurship. So, ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Now, tell us about your workspace. When did you realize you had a paranormal company, Casey?
Well, one day we were cooking in the kitchen, and I walked out of the room, and the sink had turned on. And I looked at Karina.
The water was flowing.
The water had turned on. And I went back to Karina, and I said, you need to cut it out. Don't play tricks on me anymore. And she was white as a ghost, and she said, I did not turn the sink on. I swear I didn't turn it on. It must have turned on by itself. And that's when we, you know, sort of looked at each other interestingly and thought, we're not alone in this space.
Karina, your side?
Well, I never have really been a big believer in this paranormal sort of thing. But when we started at the Innovation Center, there were rumors that it could possibly be haunted because the kitchen is located above an old morgue.
And when you found this out, you were like, yeah, we're good. We can go ahead and do it.
It didn't scare me at all. Of course, this one over here, Casey, was scared by the idea, but I was not.
Frightened.
Frightened, yes.
You're not a big believer, but then what happened?
But then this sink incident happens, and I thought, could be something, but I wasn't really that scared. However, one night when we were there, probably around 9 p.m., there was no one in the building, just us. And all of a sudden, we hear this, like, terrifying scream. It sounded like a woman shrieking, and the sound came out of the oven through the stovetop. And we looked at each other simultaneously, and we just knew that there was definitely something going on.
So it was unmistakable. Like, it wasn't a creak or anything that was kind of weird.
No.
It literally did sound like a woman screaming.
No, it was not a sound that you would normally hear in a kitchen. It was definitely a woman screaming. I mean, that was absolutely the sound.
So, Casey, what are you guys thinking at this point?
I can't move at this point. I'm frozen in time and just stare at Karina. I have goosebumps all up and down my arm. And we just know something's a little strange.
And for the rest of the night, she was following me all around the kitchen because
like
she didn't want to be alone. But, yeah, and there have been a few other incidents similar to that one.
Such as?
Just weird feelings, like someone standing over your shoulder and you turn around and there's no one there. You're like, oh, that's nice.
Wow.
And then walking by the freight elevator a few weeks ago, I heard this weird white noise. Yeah.
We will say that they've been on our side. So that's been nice so far.
So far, they've been nice.
So far.
Absolutely.
Isn't that how it starts?
Every horror movie starts this way. And then we go explore in the basement from where the sound came from. No, we haven't done that yet.
You'd be happy to know that Creeps Ghost Commandos, a local ghost-busting outfit in town, Creeps Ghost Commandos,
I'm
not making this up, have offered to come into your kitchen and ghost-bust for you guys. We'll be putting you in touch after the show.
Straight up. That's awesome.
That's wonderful.
Straight up. It's not a joke.
That's great.
Creeps with a Z.
That would be fabulous. Like Ghostbusters,
ghost
but for
commandos.
Real. That's fabulous.
I think that's fabulous. I didn't even know that existed.
Now, you've figured out a way to leave a peace offering for these paranormal, supernatural apparitions, haints, ghosts, whatever you may call them.
Absolutely.
What do you do?
We like to set out our new fresh baked macaroon every time we leave and tell the ghosts that it's theirs and we love them and thank you very much. And then, of course, we take it with us because we don't want to get in trouble by the health department. But we do sort of set it up as an offering for them.
But the pink macaroons.
Oh.
What happens with the pink macaroons? There is one exception.
True. One morning when we came back into the Innovation Center, we went into our storage unit, which is locked and no one else has access except for us. And we grab our bin of hot pink macaroon shells. And it looked like somebody had picked up the box and shaken it up and then put it back into our storage unit. And they were just all over the place. But no one else has access except for us. So I don't know if they maybe are not a fan of the hot pink shell. So maybe that's something we should reconsider.
Hot pink? Are you kidding? I'm not feeling this. I don't like this. I'm a ghost.
Yeah, so I don't know what their aversion to hot pink would be. Yeah, they don't seem to like it very much.
Again, before we move on to the actual reality side of your business, the physical world, the form world side of your business, I want to remind you about Creeps Ghost Commandos. They said, we're right here in Kansas City, and we do professional paranormal investigations with a various array of cameras, meters, voice recorders, and tactics in order to help communicate with whoever or whatever entity or entities, plural, that may be inhabiting your business.
That would be lovely.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
They ain't afraid of no ghosts. Creeps Ghost Commandos. Wow. Tell us how your business started. What were your backgrounds before you started the business, Karina?
Well, I was a pharmaceutical rep for about 5 years post-college, and I decided that was not the career path I wanted to follow. So I went to the French pastry school in Chicago, and then I came back to Kansas City and worked for Christopher Elbow, and then for a bakery in City Market. And after that, I was an assistant manager at Nordstrom Cafe. And Casey and I had met while we were at Bloom, and at that point, we kind of knew that we wanted to start a business of our own and work for ourselves. And so it finally ended up all coming together in May.
Did you have a passion for cooking, or did you just...
I had a passion for baking, and so I really wanted to try and make a career out of that passion.
Casey, what made you guys decide to specialize in macaroons? Were you pastries and confections expert as well? Is that your area that you chose to go into?
Yeah, I actually, after college, did the pastry program at Johnson County, which was fabulous. And then I worked for Three Women in an Oven. And so we both had, you know, interesting different backgrounds with baking and, you know, pastry. But I would say that pastry is my passion for sure. I really like the artistic aspect of it the most.
Do you ever call up Three Women in an Oven and say, now we're two women, a ghost, and an oven? Top that.
We have actually had that conversation. Stacy and Jane from Three Women are two of my greatest friends, and they've been a great source of information, and we call and talk to them about it all the time. Not necessarily the ghosts, but the business aspect of it for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Back to the macaroons, though. Why macaroons? Why choose macaroons? Why choose to specialize in macaroons?
Well, aside from being aesthetically beautiful, macaroons are a really unique combination of flavor and texture. So with just, you know, 2 to 3 bites, you bite into a crispy shell with a chewy center filled with delicious buttercream. So you get this pop of flavor and these varying textures, and it's a party in your mouth.
A party in your mouth.
They're delicious.
Word. Party in your mouth. Where do you typically serve macaroons? What types of clientele do you have, and why do they gravitate toward macaroons?
Right now, we have a pretty diverse client base. We do a lot of weddings, baby showers. They're right now at the Roastery and Three Women in an Oven, so lots of coffee shops and patrons in that kind of way. Lots of men really love French macaroons. We've had a really great response, so that's been fabulous.
Are these mostly Frenchmen?
No.
No.
They're, you know, tried and true Midwestern men.
Farm boys.
Yeah. And we haven't had any negative response from anyone who's ever tried one. So that's been wonderful.
There's an artisan approach to it, right? You sort of create a customized, artistic product.
It's a 32-step process.
Wow.
Which is a lot.
How does it start? Abbreviate it for us.
Well, let's see. First, you have to age your egg whites, which means they need to sit for several days, so they lose their elasticity. You need to combine almond flour and powdered sugar and let that dry out, and sift it together. And you have to sift these things, you know, several times. And then in the mixing process, you need to cook sugar, a sugar substance with glucose, and then pour that into a batter that you make with the portion of the egg whites and almond flour and powdered sugar. And then you keep adding different amounts of the ingredient until you get the right consistency, and then you pipe that batter.
And is that just step one?
Yeah. No. just about. And the baking process also adds like 5 steps to that equation. because you do have to be very particular, and they are very finicky in the oven, especially.
Yeah.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani Lafar. Our guests are Karina Perenio and Casey Connor, owners of pastry company called Milk and Honey. They specialize in French macaroons. What flavors of macaroons have you guys experimented with?
Well, our two most popular flavors, I would say, right now are salted caramel and lavender vanilla. And the salted caramel uses Casey's mom's secret caramel recipe, and it's delicious.
She didn't want to give it to me, actually, at first. She kind of put her foot down, but she did eventually.
Yeah.
Did you threaten her and say you would send the ghost?
Yeah, I said, are you going to build a caramel empire? If you're not, hand it over. That's what I said, actually.
So salted caramel and
lavender vanilla.
Lavender vanilla.
We've done rose cardamom. Raspberry lemon is also another very popular flavor.
With the hot pink shell.
With the hot pink shell.
The one that the ghosts don't dig.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
But people dig it.
So, yes. That's all that matters, I guess.
Absolutely.
What have you experimented with? What have you said, this is really a weird, unorthodox combination. Let's try it.
We really want to try a maple bacon.
Absolutely.
Because that's always a fun combination of sweet, salty, it would be kind of like a breakfast food almost.
The first time we attempted the rose cardamom, it took us a little while to get it just right. And we actually ended up adding honey to it. But at first, that rose was really, really strong, a little too soapy. So we really had to kind of tweak it. And we've had to do that with all of our flavors so far, actually.
But people have really responded well to some of the more funky floral flavors.
Yeah. Lavender vanilla bean is a huge hit.
Did you build your entire business around just the macaroons? Or did you say, we'll start out with macaroons and then we'll evolve as necessary as we get more kitchen space, more clientele, and see where it goes? What was your thinking at the outset?
Well, we started off with French macaroons just because they become very popular in, you know, coastal cities, and they're kind of reaching the Midwest right now. And they're also very difficult to make, so not many people do them. And they're beautiful, and so we just decided to start off with one thing, do it really well. And our plan is to kind of segue into a storefront by starting out with a food truck. So within the next 6 months, we'd like to get a food truck going and then hopefully get a retail space within a year or two.
How do you perfect your recipes, Casey?
Oh, well, that's fun. Karina's the perfect partner for me because she's very scientifically minded, and I am not in any capacity. So I'll sort of stand there and taste and add a little more, and she's like, did you measure that? And I'm like, of course I – no. What do you mean? I'm just tasting it and figuring out what it needs. So she has been actually the key to perfecting recipes because she writes everything down and is really good about making sure that things, you know, stay – like the minute details are organized as far as that's concerned.
Pistachio, apricot, almond, pineapple, coconut, lemon, raspberry, rose, cardamom, hazelnut, mocha, lavender, vanilla bean, salted caramel cream. Those are a few of those. What are you guys' personal favorites each?
I love pistachio. I love the salty and the sweet together.
Yeah.
What about you, Karina?
I really like the salted caramel, and I also like our hazelnut mocha because it has that's the only different flavored shell that we have. So it's a chocolate flavored shell, which almost tastes like brownie. And the middle is a chocolate hazelnut filling that uses the roastery's espresso blend.
Wow. So you guys have a sort of opposite personalities. Karina, you're the scientific mind employing that pharmaceutical background. And Casey, you're sort of the free spirit. Oh, let's taste it. 5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, that type of deal. And you guys rein each other in. What do each of you bring to the table, so to speak, other than the personality traits? Is one a specialist in mixing and measuring? Is another a specialist in baking? How do you guys divide labor?
Well, I would definitely say that I'm the one that likes the baking aspect the most. I like flavor combining and the science behind the baking. And Casey is definitely the creative mind who is an excellent decorator. She can make anything you can imagine out of cake. And I think that's more of her forte, is the creative side.
Did you learn anything about the chemistry process when you were working in pharmaceuticals?
Not specifically related.
I was gonna ask, is there any plans for a macaroon pill like you see in the Jetsons? You know, you take it and then the flavor just explodes.
Now there is
on the back end
novel
process.
Idea. I think we should definitely look into that.
What would you say, Karina, is key to any pastry? And I'll follow up with Casey on that same question. What's the key to any pastry post production?
I think the most important thing is to create an interesting experience. And the way you do that is by combining flavors that complement each other. And I think it's always good to combine different textures in a pastry because it becomes a much more interesting experience as far as mouthfeel is concerned, as far as taste is concerned. And it's always great to create a unique product that no one else has. So,
Casey, good pastry. What's the key ingredients?
I would definitely agree with Karina with the first part, absolutely. And then something that we have been very passionate about with all of the desserts that we make is that they are all natural. I think that
these macaroons are gluten-free.
They are gluten-free, yes. And I actually have a gluten allergy, so it's been great because I can eat them as many as I want. But I think that with the product that you make at the end, it's only as good as the ingredients you put into it. And so we've been really passionate about making sure that every ingredient that goes in is something that we can stand behind and know that is great quality.
Speaking of which, what is your home specialty? What do you like to make at home, Casey? What is your slammer killer home dessert that you make?
My favorite thing is Bananas Foster.
Bananas Foster. Tell us about that.
When I was little, we had it at one of my dad's Christmas parties. And I remember being like 8 and standing there and watching the chef in white make this unbelievable dessert that you lit on fire. And it was like the end-all be-all of desserts. And so I quickly went home and, you know, got my mom's Joy of Cooking off her shelf and started...
Julia Childs.
Yeah. And started... and her too, yeah. And started practicing and perfecting Bananas Foster. So that's my kind of go-to. And it's a comfort food for me now, too, since I've had it for so long.
Are you alone and you're mad and you just feel like lighting something on fire? Or is this something that you cook for guests when they come over?
Oh, no, I cook for guests, but I do like lighting things on fire.
She almost burnt her house down.
I did when I was little, yeah.
Karina, what is your personal best? What do you do when you're not in the kitchen for
mine
business?
Mine does not involve fire. So not as fun as Casey's, but I love fresh fruit tarts. That's my favorite thing to make and to eat. Just a sweet dough crust with a vanilla bean pastry cream and fresh fruit with glaze. That's one of my favorite things to eat and make. They're beautiful and natural.
Back to the sort of French pastry lineage.
Yes.
How's your creme brulee?
Delicious. I mean, creme brulee, though, is one of the
easiest. Of course you're going to say that.
But it's one. You know what, though? It's one of the easiest things to make, I would say.
It involves fire, which is great.
And it involves fire, exactly.
Just a little bit,
though.
Just a little bit, though.
Just enough.
Yes.
Now, that creme brulee, when you torch the top, is it a circular thing? Is it a thing where you focus on one point? Is it horizontal? How do you perfect that?
I think that you kind of want to move the torch in a circle. You don't want to stay on one spot too long because then you're going to have little black burnt sugar spots everywhere, which is no fun for anybody. Mm-hmm.
Don't want to back up on it and just say, make my day and burn the whole thing.
No. I don't think that would be a pleasant experience for anybody involved.
No.
Now, you've said that food is love. What does that mean, Casey? Food is love.
It means everything. I think that when you share a meal with someone, it's such an excellent way to show how much you care. I think that cooking has sort of been a labor of love, and all the people in my family that I've learned from have taught me that. And that was my background before I went to culinary school, that, you know, this is something you do to, you know, make someone else happy. I think it's like the most basic form of happiness you can provide as a really great meal or a really fabulous dessert. So I think that's what food is love means.
Karina, anything to add on that?
I just think food, I mean, who isn't happy when they eat something delicious? I mean, I just love making something delicious and seeing somebody's happy reaction when, you know, they try our food. I mean, it's...
Any tips for people making culinary sweet delights at home, Karina? Any tips?
Any tips?
How do you start?
Making macaroons or just making anything?
Really? Anything. Anything.
Just start with something really, really basic. You know, I would, you know, start with something easy like cookies or cupcakes, something like that. And then once you get comfortable with that, slowly progress to something a little more difficult. But there are great cookbooks out there that have some more basic recipes that can help you get your feet wet.
What did you start with back in the day?
Oh, gosh. I think I started off with a Martha Stewart cookbook because her cookbooks are very descriptive. They're made for the home baker or somebody who hasn't really had experience. So there's a lot of detail, and there are photos which help you see what a product should look like when it comes out.
Did it look like what it looked like in the book?
No. The cupcake cake part looked like it should, but I've never been great at piping icing and doing that type of work. So it took a while for me to get that right.
Casey, what was your first go-around?
Who, cooking? I think macaroni and cheese from scratch.
Macaroni and cheese from scratch.
And fried chicken with my grandmother. Yeah, I remember being really little, and my great-grandmother, actually, and making those. I think, actually, for cookbooks, for a new cook, the Good Cook series, it's not in print anymore, and I stock the all the shelves of like half-price books, and I probably shouldn't give my secrets away, but those are my favorite books for people, step-by-step, and it's about theory, which is what you really learn when you go to culinary school anyway. It's not about how you make one sauce. It's how you make, 10 sauces and, the basics behind all of it. So I would say those have really, really helped me just sort of learn a lot of theory behind cooking, and it takes the scariness out of it. When you don't know how to do something and you're attempting a new recipe, if you know the basic theory behind it, it makes it so much easier.
And I imagine cooking with a ghost kind of takes the scariness out of everything.
Yes. Yes, it does.
What would you say to a person who's just starting out cooking intuitively, beyond recipe books? What feeling should you go in there with?
I would say go in with confidence and humor, and don't be so hard on yourself. I think that that's absolutely key. Go in with a smile and leave that way. And once you start something, your intuition is almost always right. If you're making a batter and you think, well, this looks too loose, you probably need more flour. I mean, those little things that we get so caught up with, we don't trust our intuition in baking, are almost always the answer. If a cookie spreads too much, it means there was too much fat in it. I mean, they're those things that, yeah, make sense.
Is that pretty much the same thing for you, Corinne?
Yeah, I would totally agree. I mean, it's nothing to be scared about. Just go into it with an open mind, relaxed, and if you mess something up, it can be fixed and you can try again.
Spoken from a woman who is part of a duo that cooks with ghosts. So if she's not scared, you shouldn't be either. Our guests are Karina Perenio and Casey Connor, owners of a pastry company specializing in French macaroons. The company is called Milk and Honey. They'll be launching their website pretty soon. Ladies, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And tune in tomorrow as our latest installation of Appy Hour ensues, looking at how creativity and collaborations are thriving here in the Silicon Prairie. We meet a few more area app makers and find out which mobile apps they themselves use. Our show is produced by Andrea Salenzi. Update is next with Malcolm Garcia and John Hockenberry, who both talk about experiences in war-torn countries. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.